Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. Good to see you all here today. We also want to welcome, you know, we're live streaming this, so we have an audience that's tuning in. Can you give them a warm welcome and a hand clap? We want to welcome you and glad that you're joining us. Welcome to the In God We Trust rally. My name is Mark Coward. I'm the senior pastor of Church for All Nations, and I also have the privilege of directing the third year practical government school right here at Karis Bible College, and that is a blessing. We're going to have an awesome day today. There's a couple of housekeeping items I'd like to get out of the way. First off, this rally today is presented by the Truth and Liberty Coalition, and that is founded by Andrew Womack, Lance Wallnow, David Barton, Dr. Dean Radke, and Karen Conrad. It is a nonprofit organization under the 501c4 code, and it's separate from Andrew Womack Ministries and Karis Bible College. But today, we would like to thank Karis Bible College for renting this beautiful and amazing venue to us. Can we give them a hand clap? Thank you so much. This is an awesome opportunity. There's just a couple of housekeeping items. First off, if you could silence your cell phones, we'd appreciate that. And number two, real important, is bathroom locations. And when you walk out of here, to the left, there's a set of bathrooms. To the right, and then out by the cafe, if you go through those doors, a whole nother set. And Andrew can tell you exactly how many toilets are in this building. It is adequately equipped. And so one last thing, please be mindful of the time. We're going to have an awesome time today. We're going to have some breakout sessions. So we've got a schedule to stick to, and you are in for a treat. But we thought it was very fitting that we would start today with the Pledge of Allegiance and also the singing of God Bless America. So I'd like you to welcome a dear friend, Daniel Amstutz, and the Karis Worship Team. Give them a warm welcome today.
Amen. Amen. Great to see all of you here this afternoon. Would you stand to your feet and let's recite the Pledge of Allegiance together. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Ladies and gentlemen, would you greet someone that you didn't come with this afternoon? Tell somebody hello, and we're going to have a great time this afternoon as we celebrate America and our great heritage. Great to have you with us. Thank you. Lord. You may be seated.
Under the guise of progress, radical leftists now control Colorado's government. It's time for Christians to unite and take action. These new laws affect our kids. Mandatory LGBT sex indoctrination in elementary school. Counselors can no longer help minors who want to escape homosexuality. Suicidal 12-year-olds can now direct their own mental health treatment without their parents. Another whopper. In presidential elections, Colorado's Electoral College votes now go to the national popular vote winner. Oh, and this November, they want to repeal Tabor so they can raise your taxes. We can pretend it doesn't matter, or we can take action. There are practical ways we can join forces and make a difference.
Praise the Lord. Before I introduce our first speaker today, I just want to let you know we've got an amazing program. We have Andrew Womack, Lance Wallnau, Richard Harris, Greg Lopez, Senator Dennis Heisey, and Representative Mark Baisley. Also, Dave Riffle, a coordinator of Practical Government School, and a video greeting from Congressman Doug Lamborn. So we are in for a treat today, and we're going to have a schedule to stay to, but one of the things that we're doing, we have an activation time at 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. There are some amazing organizations. Their tables are out in the foyer, and we want you to connect with those. At that 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock time, it's a great time to go to the restroom and stretch your legs as well. And one of the things, it's Andrew's heart that we don't just come in and are inspired and get fired up today, but that we mobilize and we genuinely make a difference. So when we have those activation periods, we want to encourage you to go out and actually connect with those people and then be back in when it's time for our next speaker. So right now, I am so excited. You know, Andrew doesn't need an introduction in this group, but I want to say what a blessing he is to all of us. I met Andrew 41 years ago this year. I found out I was actually the first person he met in Colorado Springs, and it's a privilege for me to be serving here at Karis Bible College. So would you give Andrew Womack a warm welcome as he comes to minister?
Praise God. Thank you very much. Praise God. So how many of you, this will be your first time here on this campus? Could I see your hands? Wow, a lot of you. Well, welcome. We are glad that you're here. As Mark said, this is a function of the Truth and Liberty Coalition, which is separate from the Karis Bible College and separate from Andrew Womack Ministries, but this is the facilities of Karis Bible College that we are using. And as you drive out, if you look over there, the white building that's about a mile away is the offices of Andrew Womack Ministries. But we specifically did this under a 501c4, which is free to do all kinds of political things. And so I believe it's time for believers to get involved in what's happening in our nation. I believe that we have the constitutional right to speak out. And of course, our history shows that it was a revival that caused this nation to be formed. And everything that's in the Constitution, in our Declaration, it all came from the preaching of the gospel. I forgot how many times that sermons are quoted, but it's many, many times. And so we have the constitutional right, but yet it's something that is being challenged today. So we just started a 501c4 so that we can say anything we want to say. Amen. Yeah. And we are so blessed to be able to have all of these speakers that are going to be speaking. Of course, they're going to be coming at things from a kind of a different standpoint, which we need to use every tool available to us to turn this state and this nation back to God. So I'm embracing every bit of this. But they will be talking to you basically from a legislative perspective, from a constitutional perspective, from all of these other things. But I'm going to share some things with you from Scripture And this is just going to be very brief, but we are in a spiritual battle. We need to use all of these avenues. Praise God for these men that are in our Senate and our House of Representatives, and I praise God for what they're doing. But this is a spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And yes, we are fighting through the legislature, through the court system, through all of these things, but this is a spiritual battle, and the church is the only ones that are really equipped to deal with this appropriately. So I just want to encourage you that as believers, we need to engage. And in a sense, I'm preaching to the choir because you're the ones who showed up. But we need to share this with our friends and get our friends involved, because we were having a discussion back here before we came out on stage, and I do not believe that what has happened in this state reflects the majority opinion in this state. But the other side has mobilized and done some things that has caused them, in a sense, to steal some of this influence, and they're cramming these things down our throat. And I believe in the name of Jesus that they have overreached and that there is a backlash and that we're going to see things turned around. So let me just share some scriptures with you that are very simple, but it's amazing how this is not understood by the vast majority of people. Psalms chapter 36, verse 1 says, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." You know, the reason that things are going the direction they are is because there isn't a fear of God. There's not a respect of God. And notice it says within my heart. This isn't what the wicked would say. They would say, oh no, they're, you know, expressing their freedoms or however they couch it. But the truth is, it's because they don't fear God. And so much of what's happening in our nation today is because the fear of God is not dominant the way that it was. I could go back, and I'm not going to take time to do today, but I have studied George Washington's farewell address. I've studied John Adams, and the second vice president, Thomas Jefferson. All of these men said basically that America has to be ruled by moral people. John Adams, nearly word for word, said that if America ceases to be moral, then freedom will destroy us because we will vote in ungodliness and things like this. I think the man's name was Tocqueville or something, the French man who came over. Is that it? Anyway, this man who came from France was comparing the French Revolution with the American Revolution. And if you aren't aware of it, the French Revolution killed hundreds of thousands of people, just butchered them. I mean, entire villages and things. And he was comparing the American Revolution and the French Revolution, and he was shocked at how much influence religion had in the United States. And he says that's the difference. He says that was an ungodly revolution. They specifically tried to do it as atheists. They tried to stamp out the belief in God. And because of it, it was a bloodbath that did tremendous damage. Our revolution was based on godliness and on morality. And the only reason that it has succeeded and that we have seen the blessing of God on this nation is because that people could control themselves through a fear of God. And, you know, I'm not going to get into all of these details, but I truly believe that the shootings that we see today and the terrible things that are going on, people are just up in arms, and everybody wants to stop that. Nobody wants to see people killed. And so I'm in 100% agreement with that. But I've often said that guns don't kill people any more than forks make people fat. And so we want to do something to stop this, but what do? We pass a law that you can't have a gun if you have done certain things. Well, I don't understand this, because there's also a law against killing people. Yeah. And if you're going to ignore that law and you want to kill people, you aren't going to observe the law. Well, I can't have a gun. I guess I can't kill anybody because it would be against the law. Anyway, my point is, you know what the problem is? It's not all of these other things. And I understand that people are just wanting to do something. And so they think that limiting access to guns and overturning the Second Amendment will do it. But what the problem is, people don't fear God. That's the reason that they're doing this. You know, used to, people would get mad and but they wouldn't commit suicide because they feared God. They knew they were going to stand judgment before God. But now people will go in and kill people and then kill themselves and thinking that they got by with it. They didn't get by with a thing. They are being ushered into a Christless eternity. If people had this knowledge of God, the fear of God, that would be the restraining effect. And the very people who are crying the most about let's do something and take away guns and limit access to guns, I know that this will be offensive to a lot of people, but I really believe it's their policies that have created the problem, because they have come against every standard of morality that this nation has been based upon. They've come against marriage. You can see that most of the, I don't know if it's correct to say most, but many of the leaders in this nation, the entertainment people, the sports figures, they don't believe in marriage. They just shack up with people. They are promoting homosexuality. They're promoting all kinds of things. They are coming against the fear of God. They are coming against the Word of God, saying that it is outdated. And as they subtract the fear of God from our society, it is loosing this evil that is inside of all men. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is evil and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our founding fathers quoted those verses, and that's the reason they put these checks and balances and things in place, is because of things like that. And when you remove morality and the fear of God, and this is the standard that this nation was based upon, then you just open up the floodgates. What people are calling political correctness today is what the Bible called a spirit of Antichrist. Yeah. It's not a spirit of anti-Islam, anti-Buddha. There aren't any political correctness things against them. Every time that anything is said, it's always against Christianity, against morality. And did you know that the second verse of this Psalms 36 says, talking about the people, the wicked that have no fear of God in front of them, the second verse says, "For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful." Here's what the word flattereth mean by Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. It means to soothe by praise, to gratify self-love by praise. And this is what we see a lot of people in this nation doing, is now they have come out against things that have been determined for thousands of years as being immoral, and they're saying, no, this is now moral. And they're holding parades and getting flattery and self-love, praising themselves and coming against all forms of morality. And I'm telling you, we as Christians need to stand up. We need to love the people. Amen. I do love the people. I've got a number of people. I've got people on staff that have struggled some things with homosexuality, and I've loved them and I hadn't fired them, and they're still with me. I'm not against any of these people. I love them. I love them enough that I'm going to tell them the truth. And I'm telling you, we're being lied to that we're the ones that are intolerant. I guarantee you, we aren't the ones that are sitting here and being intolerant. It's love to tell a person the truth. And so I just wanted to introduce this. I know all the rest of our speakers will be approaching this from a different standpoint and talking about other things, but I tell you, it is a godly thing to stand up and oppose ungodliness. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord," which, remember that verse, "the fear of the Lord is the reason that people are doing what they're doing, is because they've lost the fear of the Lord." And Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in every evil way do I hate." So praise God. I believe as a Christian, it's time for us to stand up and take a stand. And thank you for being a part of this today. Amen. And I believe that this is not only going to motivate us, but I believe we're going to have a long-term effect that's going to turn this state and this nation back to God. Amen.
everyone. Thank you for letting me address you by video today. It is a great honor to serve as your representative in Congress. I want to thank Andrew Womack and Richard Harris for organizing what I hope will be the mustard seed that leads to a reawakening in our great nation. It is high time that people of faith, conservatives, and the Life Movement gather in Colorado to push for action across our state and our country. Although extremists, like the socialists running for the Democratic Party presidential nomination, would like to deny it, our national motto is In God We Trust. Our great motto is rooted in the Civil War, when Abraham Lincoln frequently invoked the word of God in the national effort to end slavery. Congress codified the motto into law during the Cold War to contrast America's protection of God-given freedom with the soulless tyranny of the Soviet Union. Today, as we rally behind this motto, let us acknowledge the spiritual war our nation is entrenched in. We need to look no further than our own streets to see the evidence of this conflict. Marijuana dispensaries are on the same streets as thriving churches. Abortion clinics sit just blocks away from pregnancy centers. In our state house, legislators gather to impose radical gender theory on young students, while parents in godly homes teach their children the virtue of marriage. It is easy to despair in the face of ignorance and evil, but today we gather to declare where our trust lies. Our trust lies in God. Colorado needs the grace of God more than ever. The state motto is Nil Sine Numine, nothing without providence. Today, let's begin a reformation of our nation. We will recreate what has made Colorado and the United States great by returning to our roots, the mottos that tell us what our roots are. Our national motto is In God We Trust. And by doing this in prayer, by returning to these roots, we can find the strength to act. Let's restore a culture of life where humans maintain their dignity. Let's restore the Judeo-Christian values our framers saw as the moral context for the U.S. Constitution. Let's defend the right of all people of all faiths to worship God. If we truly ask God for the strength and wisdom, we will mark today as a turning point in the spiritual battle to turn Colorado and the United States of America back to God. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless America.
Well, Greg Lopez, he is a true testament of the American dream. He's the son of a migrant farm worker from a family of five, born in Dallas, Texas. Go Texas. He met Lisa while serving in the United States Air Force. They've been married 31 years. They have been small business owners for over 25 years, and they have two adult children. He was elected as mayor of Parker, Colorado from 1992 to 1996 at the age of 27, acting as his own campaign manager with very little money. And they've lived in Colorado for over 31 years now. He also served as president of the Denver Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. He was on the 2018 Republican primary ballot for governor of Colorado. He continues to travel nationally and throughout the state of Colorado to speak and consult with small and large businesses for over 20 years. I'd like you to welcome Greg Lopez to the platform.
Well, thank you, Mark. You know, it's a pleasure to be here, and, you know, wow. You know, are you excited? Are you excited about restoring faith, freedom back to Colorado and our country? I know I am. You know, today I'm going to share with you a little bit about myself and do what I can to motivate you to do something to change the world we live in. Because like the song says, it's time to do something. You see, I truly believe we live in a world we allow to exist. And if we don't like what's going on in our world, then we have to do something to change it. You know, today, we gather as Coloradans, as Americans, but most importantly, as Christians. You know, for over the last several decades, we've seen our America's pulse weaken, our nation's arteries harden, and the hearts of too many Americans grow cold. Sometimes I wonder if my Christian brothers and sisters have lost focus. Raise your hand if you believe you have the power to do something. Good. Now, for those of you that didn't raise your hand, I will ask you again at the end of my remarks, because I truly believe it's time to do something. Anything. Just something. You know, we can't afford to stand still anymore. You know, I want to share with you something that I believe, three important things that I believe the Bible teaches us, and that is this. One, you count. Two, you matter. And three, God wants you to make a difference. Now look at the person sitting next to you and tell them, you count. You matter. And God wants you to make a difference. Now I know most of you, I know what you're thinking right now. How can I make a difference? Why would God choose me to change the world? I know that because I asked that very same question 1,000 times to myself. Who am I to change the world? Why me, God? And I know you're hearing this little voice inside saying, I can't change the world. No way. Okay, so if you believe you can't change the world, how about our state? How about our country? How about our cities? How about our town? You know, how about our community? At the age of 27, I decided to make a difference and ran for mayor of Parker and won. So, you know, how many of you are familiar with the town of Parker? Raise your hand. You know, I like to kid a lot of people that everything you like about Parker, I probably did. Everything you don't like about Parker, it had to be the mayor that came in after me. You know, I beat the incumbent mayor, a bank president, a retired school teacher that had become a real estate agent, and they were all 15 years older than I was. And I'd only lived in the town for a little over a year. Now talk about beating the odds. And like I said, I won, and I won by 23 votes. So believe me when I tell you, every vote counts. Now, no, you don't have to run for political office to make a difference.